So I'm going to challenge you to read along with me and go through these scriptures. And as you read, mark in that little square. Now, if you go through this and you miss one or two days, you know, 3 days, I mean, don't look at that and say, oh, no, I missed 3 days, so I forget. I'm not going to read no more. It's just like eating. If you miss like a meal or two because you're busy, what do? Oh, I see it. I'm not going to eat no more than I missed 2 meals. I stop it. I'm going to stop eating. That's it. No. You just wait till the next meal and you eat twice as much, right? It's okay.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Have you ever started out on a Bible reading program, determined to make it through the entire Bible in 1 year, but somehow along the way you fell behind and you just sort of gave up? Well, today Pastor Wayne has some words of encouragement for you. Here he is with the conclusion of a message entitled, In the Quiet Times.
I don't have the time it takes discipline, and I don't have the discipline to do my devotions. Well, yes, it takes a little bit of discipline, but let me say this to you. You will have two pains in life, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The pain of discipline weighs ounces. The pain of regret weighs tons. You can be a leader and still stray. You can be a Christian, have been one for 15 years. But I can tell when people aren't hearing God daily because their decisions are funny. Let me give you some benefits of daily devotions. Turn your paper over and here it is. Why do we want to get close to the Lord? Why is it so important to have our devotions? Why? Because the Lord says by doing it, we get to know Him. You get to know God one-on-one. Isn't that right? You can celebrate God in a crowd, but you know Him. You get to know Him one-on-one. That's why the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. You'll know Him in the stillness. But what is He saying then? Why does He want us to get to know Him more? Number one, the more you know Him, the more you love Him. Would you write that in there? The more you know Him, the more you love Him. Oh, the more you know His grace and His mercy and His patience, the more you see what He's done on the cross and how He's extended His hands to embrace you, extended an invitation. When we yet were cursing Him and hurling abuse, yet He said, I love you still. And when we begin to see Him as He is and get to know Him, oh, we love Him so much more. But your love will not increase if your knowing Him or knowledge of Him doesn't increase. So He says, would you just keep coming to me in a consistent level because your love needs to grow? How many of you would say, I need to learn how to love God yet more? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. So that's why God says, come. Why is it so important to love God as He wants us to? Here it is. Listen carefully. Because love has a thing we call a creative affinity to it. A creative affinity, which means you become more like that which you love the most. Isn't it true you see a couple that's been married like 50, 60, 70 years? I mean, after a while, they just look like each other. Isn't that right? What people love, they start to look like. I have a friend that loves surfing. He reads surf magazines. He has surf posters on his wall. He dresses in surf stuff. His skin now looks like wax. He starts to smell now even like limu. Everything about it. Is surf. I got another friend that loves tennis. He reads tennis magazines, has tennis posters on his wall. He has tennis shorts. I mean, he looks like a racket. Even his hair looks like a tennis ball. Everything's starting to look like tennis. I was at a high school camp and there was a kid that loved heavy metal music. Everything about him was heavy metal. He had the chains, you know, coming down. He had black stuff on and he had tattoos and everything was pierced. I mean, he pierced his eyeballs, every orifice and opening of his head. His body was pierced. His brain is probably pierced. Everything is pierced. He's starting to look like metal stuff, you know. He's got metal everywhere because he's into heavy metal. And it's heavy. You put that much stuff on, it's heavy. You become like that which you love. Some of you love dogs. We won't go any further in that one. But I know the ones of you that love dogs. But it is true. You know, we become more like that which we love. And that's why the Lord says in Deuteronomy 6, he says this. That's why the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Because the more I love God, the more I become like the person he created me to be. Because in the beginning, God created us in his image. But you see, sin detached us from God and we began to drift into space. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, or a separation from life. And we begin to drift. Until there was such loneliness and pain, God built a bridge of his mercy to us. Now, how do we get back to the image that he has for us, that he created us in the first place? Love God. How do you do it? Get to know him. Because then we'll be being restored to the image that he had for us in the first place. The image that he had for your family in the beginning, we've drifted from. And he wants to restore that. No, he doesn't want to cut your umbilical cord and let you drift off. He wants to restore that. That's called restoration. God is in the business of restoring. The image that he had for your relationship with your children and theirs with you, he's restoring that the more you love him and press into him. And that's going to require a daily time with God. The image that God had for your future in the beginning, that maybe we have forfeited somehow, he wants to restore that. How do we do that? You get to know him on a daily basis and let him make those incremental corrections. And then you'll begin to see his image restored in you because you're starting to walk more closely to him now instead of having to drift so far. And you'll begin to see that now there's a new experience of freedom. Would you write that in? The more I know him, the more I experience freedom. You see, when I drift from God, it's because there's a pull from this side, a pull to temptation, a pull that says, come this way. The closer you get to God, the lesser you'll enjoy life. And so the crowd pulls you this way, or drugs, or a relationship that you know that's not God begins to pull you, and you don't have the strength to pull back. And so you start to drift this way. But the Bible says the more you get to know him, there's a freedom that comes into your life. Let's read John 8:32. Ready? Go. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, what's going to set you free? Almost. That's half of it. What will set you free is not just the truth. What will set you free is the truth that you know. You see, this is filled with truth. In fact, let's read the next verse together. Ready? Go. Your words all add up to the sum total truth. Your righteous decisions are eternal. Now, the truth is here, but yet many of us are not free. Because it's not just truth that sets you free, it's the truth that I know that'll set me free. Well, what kind of freedom is that? Freedom that, oh, I'm free. I mean, God gives me grace and mercy, so I'm free now, right? I'm free. I can do whatever I want, all right? Because God forgives me. Yeah, we can live together. We can do this, do that. Hey, no problem, because God loves us. God forgives us, and God doesn't want us to be unhappy, and this makes me happy. So we're okay. I'm free. No. You're not free to give in to the flesh because that's the deceptive pull. And God doesn't want you just to lapse into that and say, I'll just give into it, because the end of that is destruction. He who sets his mind on the flesh leadeth to destruction, but he who sets his mind on the Spirit leads to life. And there's a tug of war. So there's a pull one way. Freedom is not defined as all the things I can do now. Now, listen carefully. Freedom biblically is defined as all those things I don't need to do anymore. I don't have to run with the crowd to be accepted. I don't have to do a joint for you to call me your friend. I don't have to succumb to all of these temptations. I don't have to give in to bitterness, because the Lord will free me as I read the word and I come close to him and he speaks to me about his forgiveness and his love. And I'm holding on to an offense and I think, Lord, how many offenses have I given you? How many times have I offended you and you've brought forgiveness into my life? And Lord, what am I doing letting this thing attach to me, this thing called bitterness? Nah, Lord, thank you. Cut, snip. I'm free from that. I'm free from that, Lord. Thank you. You see, freedom in Christ is freedom from all those things that used to pull me away. I'm free from that. I'm free to follow God. And I'm free to become all that God created me to be. I don't care anymore. I'm going to go for God. There's a new freedom, a new confidence, and a new strength. You see, if you'll know the truth, it'll set you free. Free to follow his laws, his ways, his design, his destiny. And you don't have to have that bungee pulling you so hard, because he gives you strength to snip it and it allows you to follow him unabashedly, unashamedly. Some months ago, I was following a lady. I was kind of late for a hospital visit, and so I had to hurry. But I got caught behind her in this right lane that I had to turn right on at this crossroad. Well, as we approached this road that I had to turn right on, obviously she was needing to turn right too. But we stopped because the yellow light was nice and yellow, and so she stopped. But I looked up, and it didn't say, no right turn, or it didn't say, right turn only on arrow. In Hawaii, if you study your driver's manual, if you stop and the road is clear, you can turn right. So I'm kind of watching my clock, and she's there, and I'm thinking, well, she stopped and now she can turn. And if it's clear, and I looked, man, it was cleared like 3 days' journey. There was nobody. So I said, go. Now, I hate it when people beep horns at me, so I don't beep horns at them, you know, to kind of goad them and move them forward. So I just start talking to her. Lady, beep. Beep. Yo, move, yeah, sometime this week. She just waited there. Finally, the light turned green, and she made a right turn. I whipped around her. I thought, man, she just read her manual. She'll realize she can turn right. And then it was as if the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, Wayne, that's so true. Because the more you get to know not a driver's manual, but a life manual, the freer you'll be. There'll be a confidence, and you'll be able to move where people are usually stuck. And where people's lives stop, you'll be able to go forward. Because the more you know me, the more you'll experience freedom to become all I created you to be. Get to know me and watch how much you'll grow. Because that's the next point. Would you write in your notes, number 3? And the more you get to know him, the more you'll change. Would you write that in? The more you'll change, the more you'll grow. There'll be a more accelerated growth. You'll be able to grow faster and change. Let's read what it says. Ready? Go. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And really, that isn't difficult. You see, what God is saying is, the more I love him, get to know him, I won't drift so far because I want to get to know him. So the corrections are made very incrementally. But if I allow myself to drift from God, oh, the changes are so difficult because I've got to go through a painful season. And then usually I don't change when I enter the pain. I change when I can't stand the pain anymore. And a lot of times by that time, there's a lot of damage done. And we say, well, it's your fault, God, or it's their fault. No, the Lord says, no, why did you let it go so far? See, when I drift and then I have to change, if change is painful, then I know that I'm not close to him. Because this is what the scripture says. This is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult if you love God. If His commandments are tough for me, then I got to come back to the cross and say, Lord, would you deepen my love for you? Keep me closer to you, because my love is diminishing. That's the problem. Not that change is getting harder. For example, in America, we have some wonderful laws that protect the family, such as there's a law that says something like, I cannot and should not murder like people in my family. That's a good law. That's a good law. Don't get me wrong. It also says that you cannot abandon your children in a foreign city by getting them out of the car and say, go get yourself a drink, and then taking off. That's a good law. There's also laws that say I cannot throw a plugged-in appliance into the tub when my spouse is taking a bath. You know, those are fine laws. But you know, I don't struggle with those laws at all, in keeping those laws. They don't bother me at all. They're not difficult. You know why? Because I love my family. I love my spouse. I love my children. So the laws are not hard. What makes laws tough is when I drop my love. Do you understand? So one of the barometer readings that my love is waning is because it is a barometer reading or the sensor that goes off when making change is difficult. But the Lord says, if you'll get to know me and stay close on a daily basis, change will not be hard. My prayer for this church is that we'll be a people of devotion to the Lord one-on-one. And that is why here is your homework. In your bulletin, we have put a Bible bookmark. You can start today. Now, this is what I read. So I'm going to challenge you to read along with me and go through these scriptures. And as you read, underline, as it says on the bottom and the back, when reading the Bible, look for lessons to be learned, examples to be followed, promises to be enjoyed, and Jesus to be revealed. So anything that tells you about that, underline it. And when you come to something that really speaks to your heart, take a journal. You can buy a little notebook from our bookstore. By the way, we ran out of these, so we'll be getting some this next week. But last night, we sold 600 journals. And so it's so good to be a part of a church that says, let's go for it. Well, we actually, you know, I asked Matt Kaneshiro, I said, Matt, what's our cost on this? Because we were selling it for $5. He said, our cost is $4. So I said, let's sell it for $4. Is that all right? And he was so gracious to say yes. And I'm so thankful. Plus, I'm the pastor, so he has to do what I tell him to do. But we actually wrote this. We put this journal together here at New Hope, and in the first few pages, there's actually instructions as how to set up the journal and how to do a quiet time. And at the back, you will have all of the prayer bookmarks or Bible reading bookmarks for the whole year. But we also put this together on this bookmark 3 months at a time. Now, we'll get a new shipment of these in on Monday or Tuesday, so anytime over the next few weeks, you can still pick these up for $4 at the bookstore on Sand Island. Just go through it and take a look at them. There's a lot of other things, but pick up a journal, or you can just pick up a notebook, you know, at the supermarket. But on this, go through this, and when you read one of these, mark in that little square. And then you read the next one, mark in the next square. Now, if you go through this and you miss 1 or 2 days, you know, 3 days, don't beat yourself to death. I mean, don't look at that and say, oh, no, I missed 3 days, so I forget. I'm not going to read no more. No, don't do that. It's just like eating. If you miss like a meal or two because you're busy, what do? Oh, I see it. I'm not going to eat no more, and I missed 2 meals. I stop it. I'm going to stop eating. That's it. No use trying now. No. You just wait till the next meal, and you eat twice as much, right? It's okay. So with this, you mark in that little box, and even though there's pukas in the middle, that's okay. If you miss one or two, start on the day that it is and read today's reading. And if you have time, go back. But don't beat yourself to death. At least you're trying. You're developing the habit of daily devotions. And if you mark, make it your challenge to mark in all of the pukkas. Get them all done. And when you get all the boxes filled in, I mean, you have accomplished something wonderful. I mean, it's tremendous. You know, I got finished with this one and I filled it all in. I mean, when you do something like this, I mean, celebrate. Do something for yourself, party, anything, because you did something good. Buy yourself something. Like I did, you know, I bought myself a motorcycle. And just fill that thing in. But I want to challenge you over this next year. Let's do that. Let me close with this. I want to read to you a little journal written to Aaron. It's written by a brilliant father, this book. It really should be a number one bestseller. It's not yet, but it should be because of what he has gone through. I mean, he had to raise 3 dysfunctional children, and he did so well at it. He should receive Father of the Year or something, but let me read this to you. Dear Aaron, today I'm speaking at a youth conference. There's a lot of high schoolers here, and many of them don't know Jesus, at least not yet. Earlier today, while I was tuning my guitar, the sound man cranked up some ear-piercing rock music, the kind that makes you feel your heart beat with each thump of the kick drum. Well, I kept trying to tune my guitar by putting my ear closer and closer to my acoustic Martin guitar, but to no avail. My guitar was no match for the high-powered speakers. But finally, I had to resort to putting my ear right onto the wood itself. And then lo and behold, regardless of how loud the music raged, I could still hear my acoustic guitar. But it wasn't because my acoustic guitar got any louder. It was because my ear got closer. Aaron, you'll come to times when the voices around you will be so loud that it'll be difficult to hear the gentle voice of our Savior. Yes, he can speak in thunderous ways too, but that wouldn't require any faith to hear him, would it? God will always be speaking, but sometimes in order to hear him, we've got to bend our ears to touch him so that we will hear the very vibrations of his heart. That's right. Don't stop till you hear his heart. And Aaron, don't just pretend to know him. Take the time to really know him by listening to his heart. And I think that's what really pleases God anyway, doesn't it? Because he doesn't want us to expect his voice to be always loud and booming. Instead, he wants us to be a people who are willing simply to bend our ears to touch him. What pleases him are people who are willing to take time to listen every day, developing ears that hear. Dad, let's do that together as a family. And as you hear God every day, you watch how his image in you begins to radiate.
I come to glorify you, identify. Your name as my own.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled In the Quiet Times by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. If you would like to order a copy of the message, call us toll free at 1-877-755-9555. Just ask for the message In the Quiet Times. That number again, 1-877-755-9555. We also encourage you to order a life journal when you call and begin to write down the thoughts and the insights that God gives you as you spend time each day with Him. That number again, 1-877-755-9555. Or you can order it on our website at www.enewhope.org. That's enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Till next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose.